This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show for our 2020 kickoff preseason show. This is John Massengill sitting in studio with Jonathan Green and Les Kaiser. How's it going, boys?
Pretty good.
You guys ready for the season?
Happy New Year.
All right, well, we're
Yeah,
that's true. That's probably where we should start the 2020 season preseason show is the coronavirus, because this thing could throw a wrench in the entire season. We've already got the Chinese Grand Prix either postponed, delayed, or canceled. We don't know exactly yet, but the coronavirus is wreaking havoc around the world, and every sporting event, MotoGP has already rearranged their schedule, and Formula One is really being somewhat tight-lipped about all this.
Yeah, and the irony is that obviously eight teams are based in the UK, but the one that matters, if you will, is Ferrari, and it's based in northern Italy, as is most of motorsport in Italy, and that is what that area of Italy has been the most affected by the coronavirus. So MotoGP and Ferrari, obviously, and Formula One's attitude is, hey, if Ferrari can't make it, then there is no, you know, there is no race.
Yeah, well, they've said it. If a team cannot be there because their country says they can't leave or whatever, if it's an official reason they can't be there, then they will not hold a race. You know, they say it's not fair to the whole grid if that team can't make it. Now, if they choose to not come, that's different. They'll go run the race without them. Les, you've got this look on your face.
Les is looking quizzical, which is not easy for Les, because he doesn't often do that.
This government bureaucracy, how's this going to play out? I don't know. Red Bull, are they going to get tied down? Or the, you know.
Well, all I know is that
that's the anecdote, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I saw the most ridiculous publicity announcement recently. A certain alcohol company that produces vodka issued a public statement. No, our vodka will not sanitize your hands of the coronavirus.
Yeah, but if you can't get Purell, Everclear will do.
Yeah. Well, it is. It's really going to be crazy to see how this affects everything. And I mean, it's a really serious thing too. Obviously, we know that, and we don't mean to make light of the of the illness. But it's just really, I don't know what else to do right now because there's no telling what can happen. You know, MotoGP is going to start right here in Austin.
Yeah.
And we, you know, would they say? In fact, we just had a conversation with Günther Steiner a few minutes ago, and we're going to play this full interview. But Günther said it. You know, we think that Australia and Bahrain are going to go on, but
China's definitely off. Vietnam is, you know, close. We don't know.
And you know what? I think that's what we ought to do. Let's jump right in and play this interview with Günther Steiner. Because
it's a great way to set up the year.
Yeah. And by the way, we're going to have him throughout the year. We've arranged that with the Haas F1 team. So we're going to have him on and off throughout the year, probably once a month or so. But yeah, let's hear from Günther Steiner, the team principal for Haas F1. Very excited to have Günther Steiner from the Haas F1 team. Günther, welcome back to Speed City.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Let's start off with testing. How do you feel about what went on in testing and where you guys are right now?
I mean, testing for us was good. We had two small issues. We didn't lose a lot of time because testing was reduced from 8 days to 6 days this year. So, you know, when you have got any problems, immediately it goes into your time, which is precious because there's not a lot of it. But on that side, it went well. So we gathered a lot of data, tested different, all different setups, options and stuff like this. So when we go to the race, we have got all the information and know how to solve a problem if the car is not balanced. Where we are at, performance-wise, very difficult to say this year. It's always difficult, but this year, I think the midfield is so close together, it's almost scary. So everything is in between 2 and 4 tenths of a second. So knowing that in Barcelona, 10 kilos of fuel more or less makes 3 tenths. So there is 5 teams in that range. So surely Mercedes is out at the front, and then Red Bull and then Ferrari. But then there is a lot of teams which are in this half a second, as I just said, and I don't want to make any predictions. I wait for Australia.
Well, you know, I find that preseason predictions from everybody are pretty much worthless anyway, so I'm not going to pressure you for that. So, we do are obviously here in America, we're rooting for you guys, and I know that, you know, it feels like the future of Haas F1 is on the line this year. You know, everything that I've seen from Gene, how do you feel about that?
I mean, I don't get disturbed by that. The future in motorsport is always on the line. Is how did you perform on the last race? That is how you're judged. So, as many of you guys know, that this year is also a contract year for the commercial agreement with the promoter, with FOWC. So, we are at the end of a 5-year cycle this year. So, Gene needs to decide what he's doing for the next 5 years. But I'm very confident that we stay around. I think we need to do well, but I don't need to be told that one. I know that on myself, and there is nobody putting more pressure on myself than me. So I'm pretty confident we will perform, and hopefully we can perform as good as 18. But if that is not happening, at least we are in the mix of the midfield teams, which is always good if you have competition and you can race for something. We struggled a little bit last year. That is also true to say. But I think we will be back on form this year.
So Günther, I know last year when we spoke in Monaco and also again in Canada in person, tire temperatures were a big player last year. Did you get a handle on that over the winter break?
Yeah, we made a lot of progress on that one. We know exactly what to look for now. While last year we were a little bit until we figured out what we actually needed to aim for. We know now the parameters where we need to be in. It's still, they're very difficult to manage because the tires stayed the same from last year to this year. Pirelli developed a new tire. We tested it in Abu Dhabi at the end of the season, but we all decided not to use them because the drivers did like them less than the 19 tires. So we are back with them tires. We know them very well. In testing, if it is cold, sometimes we struggle a little bit to get the bulk temperature up, but there's a lot of work going on, but we know what we need to look for, and hopefully we can get a grip of it.
Günther, I've got to ask about the elephant in the room. Coronavirus obviously is affecting all of us at the moment, but you're one of the team principals. You're in touch, obviously, with both the FIA and FOM. Australia, we believe, is still on. I've heard and read that you've moved your flights to avoid Hong Kong, which is sensible, so not to go to a place where you could be, quarantined. What's the latest from your point of view, and do you think we will get a season in?
The latest is we got informed from FOM this morning that Australia and Bahrain for sure go ahead. They have put measures in place to screen people a little bit better, because I think the biggest outbreak lately was in Italy, and obviously in Formula One, after English citizens, Italians are the biggest group of it. So they put measures in place that they test them a little bit more when they leave the country and when they get in. And in Bahrain, there will be a waiting period between 5 and 7 hours from the people coming from Italy. But in Australia as well, they check a little bit more, but they want to make sure that we are getting there, and that we're getting there also being safe and doing the best to protect the other people around, so not bringing anybody who is sick and who doesn't know about it. And Vietnam as well should be going ahead, but I think Vietnam is a little bit, it's 6 weeks away. So I think in 6 weeks a lot can happen with this virus, and hopefully a lot of good things happen with the virus and it's gone by then. But if it, for example, in Italy 2 weeks ago, nobody was worried about it, and now they are third of fatalities in the world. So we need to be a little bit waiting for Vietnam, but in the moment there is no issue with Vietnam as well. But the first two, we were informed this morning that they for sure go ahead.
Right. Well, Gunther, we have some questions from our callers from across the United States, and we ask on social media, and I want to start with a couple of these here. We have Mark from Atlanta, and he says, how hands-off or hands-off is Gene Haas? And the second part is, how close has Gene Haas come to replacing any key personnel, including drivers, chief engineers, etc., in order to shake things up?
First one, Gene is running the Haas Automation Company, which is a full-time job for him in California, and he's not hands-on. I speak frequently with him, but he's not on a daily basis. He's not involved in running the business. He's strategic. And in the moment, replacing people is not always a good solution just to be reactive. That's my opinion about. The same people did a very good job in 18 when we finished fifth. The same drivers, the same engineers. So just reacting to one bad season, I don't think it's good for the morale, and also doesn't make you better. For sure, if we've got a bad season again, we need to do something. But just being reactive to fire people, that in my experience doesn't work.
All right, we have another question. This one's from Daniel in Illinois, and he says, what did they change in terms of their approach to the 2020 design to rectify the 2019 weaknesses?
It's all in error. It's aerodynamic development. We missed some rear downforce, and these cars are very difficult. The rear downforce depend on how you strategically develop your front wing, and we changed to a system which is more like all the other cars. Last year we were very strong with front downforce, but lacked the rear one, so the car was very unstable in entry of the corners.
All right, we got one more from Jeff in Dallas, and he says, how do you manage the expectations to a new to F1 owner, Gene, while making the right decisions for long-term success?
It's a balance. I mean, you manage it trying to get always the best result you can, because what short-term is success will work also in the long-term. So you never have your eye off the long-term, but the short-term in racing is it's always deciding the near future, but you always have an eye out what is coming in the long-term, and you just try to do on both things a good job and just stay focused of having results.
All right, one more from Andy P. in Chicago. He says, will there be more planned pit stop practices or additional processes to ensure great executions? And he says, in all caps, he wants to wish you good luck. But yeah, there are going to be more pit stop practice.
Okay, I guess I know what he refers to. Australia was never very good for us. So with pit stops, you know, we had always a good car there, but never good pit stops. The last 2 years, actually bad pit stops. So we did a lot more practice last year. But I think because the guys the year before was so bad, we lost two cars on pit stops when we were fifth and sixth in the rankings. So mm-hmm. I think the confidence level was so much down. So we messed it up again. I hope we can bring it back, but nothing is assured, because if you look back last year after the, even in 18, after the debacle in Australia, we never had an issue. And then we go back to Australia, have an issue again, and the rest of the year we don't have an issue. So hopefully we can get it right on the third time in a row. So, you know, the guys are training hard, and they did last year, but it takes less than 3 seconds to change these wheels, and one little small mistake can have big consequences, as it did with us the last 2 years.
All right. This last one is not really a question. We just asked, you know, what we could ask you, and he just said, this is Lyle from Illinois, and he says, tell Gunther to keep being Gunther. As much as we sometimes we don't want to hear it, we love him being honest and upfront. It makes life easier in the the long run. So I think he and a lot of other Netflix viewers really enjoy you being you. So he's happy about that. And speaking of Netflix, season two is out. And shall I say, the people who, if they liked the way you were in season one, they're going to like the way you are in season two.
Yeah, and what I would say, I mean, nothing would change me now. Rest assured that I'm too old now to change, you know. So I quite enjoy my life, and I think it's very difficult to change. So no, and I'm sure I stay like I am.
I think we're going to see Gunther on the big screen before long, you know, acting out in the new F1 movie of
some sort. I hope not. I'm not this good.
Gunther, I was curious about some of the things with the barge boards and things that changed from 19 to 20. Do you think that had a drastic effect on the aerodynamics? I keep looking towards the aerodynamics and the tire management portion. Did that have a positive effect for you?
From 19 to 20, I think the regulation didn't change. We just changed how we have the front wing to work. So you have to change also the barge boards on that one. And everybody, it is one area where you can still find performance in the barge board. The rest of the car, the second year going in, there is very little to be gained. But that part of the car this year, and making it slimmer, basically, that gave you performance. And that's where you see a lot of work on the barge board. And on the body work, if you look at them, they are all even slimmer than before in the back. So to get the diffuser to work better.
Gunther, you know, just going back to the Gene question, which we read about for 2021, he was saying that obviously, you know, he was talking about the sort of sharing of the money and so on and so forth. And if you're not in the top five, it's a struggle. And even with the cap, as they plan, it still may be so. In that respect, do you think Haas will now try to look for blue chip sponsors, perhaps from the USA? Because I still don't think that's a market that's been tapped fully yet. And obviously, Gene wanted his own name out there first. But will that sort of change, do you think, if he does want to go on from 21?
I wouldn't say nothing changed. It's just difficult to get sponsors in general at this moment in time. If there's anybody out listening to want to sponsor us, we are open for business, you know. So and always where it's just like difficult to get. I think the one thing I would say, the new contract which FOWC proposes gives a more equal sharing of the prize money, so that will help as well from 21 onwards. The smaller teams will get more of the cake, but if there's any sponsors, we take them. It's just like if you're a new team, you need to install confidence in a sponsor, because they are never short-term deals if somebody makes the investment in sponsoring a Formula One team, because we are talking real money here. So they first want to see if we keep how we perform, if we stay around. It is just like you need to establish yourself in that market to be attractive to a potential sponsor.
Well, I think the exposure you guys are getting on Netflix can't hurt. Maybe we'll get Netflix to sponsor you guys. But well, I do have a question about sponsors. About last year with Rich Energy, it was, I mean, let's just call it is what it was. It was a debacle. And I can't help but think, and I know you're not going to blame anything on this, but I can't help think that it had to be somewhat of a distraction to either you or the team in some fashion.
It is. I mean, if I would say it is no distraction, that wouldn't be true. And it is a distraction, but it was pretty easy to deal, because the deal came together very quick. The first payments were on time, and they were good. And then in the middle of the season, it started the problem. But it is a distraction. Without it, for sure, would be better and didn't help my workload. But in the end, you cannot do more than trying to fix it. And I mean, it wasn't a complex situation. I mean, as simple as it sounds, it was that somebody didn't pay his bills. That was the situation. There was no more complex. There was not a people trying to do a different deal or changing the deal. No, the money didn't came. That was it. And at that point, you talk with your lawyers, you do what you need to do legal, and then we kept operationally the sponsor on until after the European season, so the big haulers and all that stuff didn't get rebranded. That was strategically, so we didn't have to rebrand them twice and spend the money. And then just the flyaway stuff, some people had to put, I think, the first race after the European season, they put some effort in to change everything over. We sent the two people out early to change everything, and that was it. But I could have done without the distraction.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no kidding. Well, listen, Gunter, this show will be put out across the United States just before next weekend in Australia. So just to sort of, for the fans in America, just to sort of, I don't know, measure expectations, what would you be happy for you and your team by the end of this season, looking ahead now to Australia? I know it's an almost impossible thing, but what would help you sleep at night if you knew where you were? Where would you like to finish at the end of the season?
I mean, I would like to finish on top of the midfield, but in the end, I would be happy to be competitive because we all want to get the up front positions, but it's only space for one team for fifth. So if we could finish fifth, it would be fantastic. But if we fight for fifth and finish sixth or seventh, I think that would be fine. And if we put a good show on for the fans that we fight without teams for it, we would be back, you know, and then from that on, we can build up again. But fifth would be fantastic. Very difficult to achieve this year, but never stop dreaming.
Well, Gunter Steiner, we thank you so much for coming on. And I know it sounds like we're going to get you throughout the season as you head towards where we are here in Austin. So we look forward to talking to you like once a month or so. And we really appreciate you coming on. We want to wish you guys the best of luck. And all of our fans across the United States are wishing you the best of luck.
Thank you very much. Thank you to everybody and to all the fans which watch us and root for us. You know, we appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Gunter. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Listen to Speed City live in Austin, Texas, back after a quick break.
Winding Road Racing is a leading provider of road racing and performance equipment at each of our locations in Texas, California, Georgia, and Kentucky. But we know some racers want that same high-quality gear, customer service, and pricing without leaving home. Check out the online store at windingroadracing.com. It's got all the same high-quality brands you've come to know us for. Alpine Stars, Stilo Helmets, Chill Out, and AIM Data Systems, all available at great prices and delivered directly to you with free shipping. Log on now, windingroadracing.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to circlebrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Talk 13-7, the right choice.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Very excited to have Günther Steiner from the Haas F1 team. He seems to be pretty confident for the season. Maybe cautiously optimistic?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, they had a tough year last year. There's no question about it. But Les, as you quite rightly pointed out to him, and that was the right question. That was the golden question, because if they have got on top of that tire issue that they had last year, which was getting mechanical grip into the tires, and there was some signs, I think we heard some interviews towards the end of last year, that they got on, they understood it. And obviously now they're redesigning aero-wise a car that won't have that problem. And effectively, the aero wasn't giving them enough to get the mechanical grip into the tires, and therefore the tires were either not getting grip or were falling off quicker than the other teams.
You know, you're right. I think it sounds like he's pretty confident they've got onto that. You know, tongue in cheek, as long as we get past the Australian race.
Yeah.
You know, that has not been a great starting point for them past couple of years, as he well acknowledged. The aerodynamics play a part in that tread, in the tire temperatures and that.
But that was all of the issue, really.
You know, and gosh, you know, I want, you know, Haas up front hitting the podium, but I have to question, why did it take so much to finally get a handle on the tire temperatures when everybody else seemed to, I'll say, a majority of the rest of the field does just fine with it?
Yeah, it is a good question. And it was a real Achilles heel last year. And for a team that was knocking on the door of top four a couple of years ago, even though they were a new team, it really did set them back. And as we mentioned in the interview, you know, Gene is, you know, looking quite quizzically now at 2021. There's going to be a lot of changes again, and he feels that making those changes could be too expensive and could potentially put them out of business. That said, if they have a good year this year, and as Günther said, if they can finish fifth, well, all bets are off. If they can get sixth or seventh because they were competitive and just miss out by a couple of points, again, all bets are off, and I think they'll sail into the distance. And I think, you know, that's why I try to ask about the sponsorship, because I do believe the sport is growing here in the States. Well, we know the facts. ESPN's figures are up. Sirius's figures are up. And it's good for, you know, there's a growth to the sport in this country.
Yep. And I mean, look, it would be nothing but good for the entire sport if an American F1 team were doing well. We've said it over and over again. And I do like that Günther was asking for sponsors right here on our show. So if we've got any
ideas,
the
audience,
let's go knocking on Michael Dell's door around. You know, he's already
with Formula McLaren,
One, but he should be with the American team. That's
I
what
agree.
I'm saying.
Well, we can send him a couple of stickers.
It's been a while since he was with the BMW Sauber team way back when.
Yeah, well, there's plenty of American teams. You know, I talked about the debacle with Rich Energy with him, and
yeah.
I mean, you heard him. He said we're open for business. So you know, at the beginning when they first started, they weren't. They flat out said it. They wanted at the beginning of when they started back in 2016, they did not want sponsors. They wanted to promote Haas Automation.
Which so. I thought was interesting for Gene, and I get why he did it, and he has had a lot of business to business. I mean, remember, they tool parts, so they've actually been making some parts for other teams as well as their own team. So Haas Automation has gained a lot out of it, but I did think it was overly bold just to put your own name on the side of your car when, you know, I mean, the budgets, even though we'll cap at $175 million, you know, you need money to go racing.
Yeah, in Formula One, I think that's the name of the game here.
All right, guys, well, let's go in and take a break. Listen to Speed City live from Austin, Texas, back after these messages.
When you
you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan Taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Austin's Talk, 1370.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Let's go ahead and transition to the rest of the grid. And, you know, we've talked about how the midfield is going to be so competitive. But let's start at the top again. I mean, with Mercedes looking like coming out of testing, and I'm not going to put much weight in that. But if this DAS system turns out to be legal.
DAS is good. ironic that it's called DAS.
Yeah. The dual axis steering system that they've come up with, which is, we don't know exactly how it works. It looks absolutely ingenious because it looks somewhat simple. You know, it could be, if it's as simple as it looks, you know, as Hamilton, they show the video, pulling back and forth on the steering wheel like a pilot stick, adjusting the toe in.
And for those of you less technical, just go to your supermarket, get a trolley, and wheel it forward. Then all the wheels will be going straight, and then stop, pick up a packet of rice, and then you'll see the wheels will go sideways, and then you got to get them back in line before it'll actually work really well.
That's actually a pretty good analogy, isn't it?
There you go.
But so the point is, it looks like Mercedes is, you know, most everybody's predicting Mercedes to be the class of the grid this year. But behind them, we don't know. Is it going to be Red Bull? I mean, you see, Red Bull or Ferrari? We don't know.
Ferrari didn't actually look that great in the Barcelona tests, and they certainly didn't change the world, did they?
Yeah, maybe because they're not able to burn a little oil inside their combustion chamber.
Another story.
Ooh, yeah.
are we going to get to that?
Well, let's go down the grid a little bit, and then we'll come back to the Ferrari settlement, quotes. I, you know, as an American, when I hear that, there's a whole other story. But let's go down the grid a little bit. So what do you think, Jonathan? You think Red Bull or Ferrari? Two or three.
I actually think Red Bull. I really do think that Honda have come forward. I think Verstappen looks good. Albon's a great second man now. Red Bull were punching, you know, well last year. The Honda is, you know, compared to where it was McLaren, very reliable. And I think that you know, these guys know how to win championships. They've done it before. Christian, you know, the basis of the team is what it was when it won four titles with Sebastian Vettel. Ferrari, in my mind, still don't look like a championship-winning team. I think Vettel has lost a little bit of confidence from last year. I think Leclerc will be great. I think he'll win several races. It'll be close. I don't think the Ferrari are out of it by any means, but I think Red Bull will push them harder for second place. That's my feeling.
You know, that's what I said on our local radio show last week. I said the same thing. I said I predicted Red Bull to be ahead of Ferrari, but you know, that's just, I think the point is that it's probably going to be Mercedes, then again Ferrari, Red Bull in whatever order. But after that, I have no idea, really, because are we going to have the pink Mercedes? Are we going to have...
Well, explain what that is. That's an interesting...
Yeah, so Racing Point, or otherwise known as Tracing Point...
Very good.
I wish I could take credit for that. It's a hashtag on Twitter. But they took the 2019 Mercedes car, and with photography, they claim, duplicated that car. And I've seen some really clever overlays of people where they took the two cars and overlaid them, and they're identical.
So why isn't that in the judiciary board, like the
Ferrari
story.
Exactly. Well, you know, so you could either say you could have that kind of attitude, or you could say, is this the Haas F1 style model a little bit? I mean, it's not the same, but you're using, I mean, they're just flat out, they're using their design. I mean, when you look at them, they look just almost identical. The rear wing looks a little bigger on the Racing Point car, but still, the front end of the car.
That's just because Sergio likes it like that.
Yeah.
I thought Kardashians were in on it.
No.
Maybe just half a Kardashian.
We've definitely had too much time off Formula One.
Well, and so everybody looks at your competitor. That's just the sport.
Do they copy them in general?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, certainly innovation. Oh, wow, that's a good idea. We should do that too. Yes, absolutely, we do that. How far can we go with it? What if they had freehand drawn that diagram? You know, does it really matter? I mean,
well, it's obvious. Well, actually, I shouldn't say obvious.
Look at all the jelly bean shaped cars.
They admitted it. Racing Points admitted that they used that design as, you know, in some fashion, you know, that they used aerodynamically a clone, essentially.
And Lawrence Stroll's also an investor and now a key player at Aston Martin. Maybe it'll look more like the Red Bull.
Yet to come. Well, so the let's look at the midfield. You've got McLaren, Renault, Racing Point, AlphaTauri, Alfa Romeo, Haas F1, and Williams. Now, what's crazy is that all of those teams, we don't know. Could they all be right smack dab in the middle? Could they all be within a second and a half, 2 seconds?
You heard what Gunter said. He said it's, you know, he thinks it's going to be touch and go for you know, who's going to be fifth in the championship. He really does. So that's good news from his point of view. My gut feeling is that Racing Point are the team I would put in fifth place now, regardless of the sort of tracing point. I really do think that they showed very competitively last year. Their two drivers are excellent. You know.
Who are you saying fourth?
Oh.
You skipped fourth.
I did, didn't I?
Did you do that on purpose? No.
Haas!
I like it.
All right.
I like it.
To be honest, you know, I'll tell you who I actually genuinely believe. McLaren. I believe that McLaren will be fourth this
again
year. Yeah. Andy P and me got together and had lunch. He bought me lunch.
We have a lot of fans that are McLaren. Fans.
But no, I really do think that the combination of Lando and Sainz was good last year. There's a feeling in the team. They're carrying on with their Indy program. And, you know, McLaren's just too long to be down, you know?
What about your friend Daniel Ricciardo, who had the third fastest lap in testing, and the Renault team? I mean, they're a constructor. They're a works team. They should be up there.
Talking of fourth and fifth in the championship, that is actually where my mind is really going to be focusing on this year, is how well can Renault do? They've had a lot going on, including their chairman now in Lebanon, I think, having been arrested in Japan. But, you know, there's a lot of distractions at Renault. But just going back to Formula One for a second, Ricciardo and Ocon, you know?
Yeah.
It's a brave new world. I'm really interested to see how Ricciardo goes against what will be a massive year for Ocon. He's got to beat Ricciardo, or in his mind, because he's had a year out of the team, or out of racing. He's learned a lot from Mercedes, I'm sure. He is the real deal. Ocon, some say, could be as good as potentially Verstappen, Lando, you know, and Leclerc, if things are to be believed. And, you know, I'm really interested to see that battle, that dynamic between Ricciardo and Ocon. But more importantly, as you quite rightly point out, Renault should be fourth or fifth, or there is trouble.
Yeah, I think if Gene Haas can pressure Gunther Steiner, then absolutely there ought to be pressure within that Renault team. And
yeah, you know, I think Cyril Abiteboul is, you know,
I'd like to
pressure.
See their budget compared to the Haas budget.
Well, we learned a lot for the Netflix thing. I mean, in the season one, you saw how he was going head to head for the engines with Renault, and they were getting slagged off by, you know, the rest of it. And then, you know, this season, or last season I should say, you know, they had their own things to deal with. But it you know, when you go behind the scenes of the Netflix thing, you really do see that everything we talk about is happening.
So if you haven't seen, I'll give you one little hint about the Netflix. I've watched through episode 2 of season 2.
Yep.
And I think, you remember that Saturday Night Live show where they said more cowbell?
Oh boy.
I think they said more F-bombs to Gunther, because if you liked last year's F-bombs,
Gene,
there are a lot more.
You know, he said it in the interview. I love the fact that Gunther wears his heart on his sleeve, and there's very few in Formula One that do that. Frank Williams did, Patrick Head did, and of course, you know, that's Williams, but when they were in their glory days, you know, you always got a straight answer from them, and that's what I love about Gunther Steiner. He really is, you know, the real deal.
Yeah, he's the real deal, and it's like that question we got from our on Twitter where Kyle said, Gunther, just be Gunther.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's keep going down the grid here. So we've talked about Renault, we talked about McLaren, we talked about, well, what about AlphaTauri?
Yes.
You know,
which was, of course,
Toro Rosso,
yeah. I think it's going to be an interesting year for them, because, you know, in a weird way, both Kvyat and Gasly, and we spent some time at NASA with them, and then really got to,
yeah, that
to
was cool,
spend some really quality time with both those guys. And I actually think think they both drove really well last year, especially Gasly, who was under real pressure, and Kvyat, who hasn't lost any pressure because he's, I mean, both of them are in the same boat, if you think about it. They've been given a reprieve.
Do you think this whole Tari and name change and these partnerships are going to really transition to the track and be something different?
I don't know why they needed to change the name of their team to a star in the galaxy. Maybe it was the NASA trip. I don't know. But I don't know why they've done that and whether it will. I suppose it takes them out of being in the Red Bull colors, and maybe Red Bull is saying, you need to, you know, hey, son, you've been under the wing for a while. You need to go and get your own sponsors. And you know, Alfa Romeo there, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that's my point is I think there's more to this than we've heard so far.
Yeah, I do too.
Are they looking at separating and kind of, you know, spread your wings and go do it on your own? Or are we looking at...
What if you were Aston Martin or Infinity, and you were part of the Red Bull team and you're basically looking at Alfa Romeo as their junior team in Ferrari, I'm talking about, you know what I mean? It's brand demarcation is what I'm saying is. And if you're looking at the Alfa Romeo team, it isn't really Alfa Romeo. It's, you know what I mean? It's hard to...
Yeah. And I always feel that odd when you have an automobile brand on a car that's not using that motor.
Right.
Or, you know, significant amount of the technology that brand is known for.
Yeah.
But I do. I'm, you know, in this, I'm going to be suspicious. I think there's more going on than we know yet on the Tari team.
All right.
I like it. I like your black helicopter approach. All right. So what about Alfa Romeo? So Kimi looked fast. He had the fastest actual top speed during
testing.
I got
this.
Okay. Well, okay, Mr.
No. That's his.
Oh, that's Kimi saying, I got this. Leave me alone.
I love watching Kimi just race. I mean, he's in his, you know, he's the elder statesman of Formula One now, but I mean, he's still quick as ever. I love it.
Is Antonio going to be faster than him this year?
I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, it's a great story for an Italian team with an Italian driver. I mean, you know, that's the dream, is to have eventually a Ferrari Italian driver. But, I don't think it's necessarily going to be Giovinazzi.
I think you're going to see some favoritism towards Antonio.
Okay. All right.
I do.
Well,
because of that nationality, all of, yeah, those things. For one, he's a great guy to speak to. Having, you know, I think it comes off well. He's that young, sexy F1 driver.
Yeah.
That so many like. And then certainly the Italian always love that persona that is there. I don't know about anybody else, but not that there's anything wrong with it, but I don't find Kim that sexy persona that would be marketable to an Italian market.
Did you say not that there's anything wrong with that?
Yeah. It's Austin. It's all right.
All right, what about the Williams team?
Well, again, I mean, you know, you hope that things will turn around. I think both their drivers are good. It's good that they've got Nicholas Latifi. I think he's going to be good. I think, you know, two young drivers is only going to help. They're just at a rotten place right now. I mean, Williams are the perennial survivors and one of the older teams now in Formula One. And I do hope that, I'm going to put my neck out here. If things don't get better for Williams, I've got a feeling that Frank might have to turn to Claire and shake things up a bit.
I am right there with you.
Are you saying you're right there with him because you don't think she's doing a good job?
I think she is doing a good job.
Needs to be a change. And, you know, Claire is the standing chief at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that if Claire hasn't made the change of her own decisions to shake things up on the team, I think she's going to be changed to somebody that will.
I don't see a problem. I think being a team principal or a team owner is one thing. It's who you bring in. We saw it with McLaren. I mean, they, you know, Zak Brown isn't going anywhere, and Claire doesn't need to necessarily go anywhere. But you saw when they got, what was the French guy's name? They got rid of Eric Boullier.
Oh, Boullier.
Yeah.
That, McLaren from that point on became a different team. And so it wasn't a matter of getting rid of Zak, and obviously Zak's, you know, going anywhere. But I don't think Claire needs to necessarily go anywhere. She is now Williams, but they need a shakeup at that level. And it needs to be a partner to Claire, or Claire needs to step down and say, bring sons.
Well, you know, okay. You say she's doing a good job.
Well,
but
I don't know.
Not. I mean, because the proof's in the pudding, right? I mean,
proof's on the podium.
Proofs are in podiums.
But Williams have the same problem that Haas do to a certain extent, which is, you know, investment. They need
money. Okay, well, then part of her job is to go find sponsors.
Right.
You know, that's
right.
What I'm saying. The buck stops there. So I'm really just kind of playing devil's advocate here because, I don't know, she is very likable, and I do love that there's a woman
at the head of a Formula One
team. Really cool, yeah.
But I mean, look, let's face it, they've got to produce.
You know, I mean, talk Brown, talk Braun and Williams. The difference between Brown and Braun is they have legitimate experience that they brought in from other positions in Formula One that were not immediately what they're standing doing now. Claire really doesn't have that lineage except the last name, to be quite honest, is the way I see it. Mm-hmm. Now, certainly she could have been schooled, but she doesn't have that diverse background to see it, other organizations, what they're doing. She only knows what's happened in Williams.
I mean, ironically, what I think Williams needs more than anything is a Zak Brown type figure. Because remember, Zak Brown made his money with his own company. And he, I mean, to be honest, he was responsible for Martini going to Williams. You know, he's still doing deals, even though he's running McLaren. He's still doing Formula One deals through his own company. And so, therefore, I think they need a figure like a Zak Brown at Williams who will totally shake up the sponsorship-finding dynamic for Williams. I mean, remember, Williams Automation, I mean, remember the ECUs that they make and all the other stuff? There's a lot of stuff going on at Williams.
Yeah, they're a technology company.
Yeah,
not just for Formula One.
So, you know, they're certainly not a lost cause by any means. It's not an HRT or a Marussia in any way, shape, or form. Williams,
yeah,
you know, and I think Liberty Media know that, and I think that things will turn around. I think, going back to your original question, obviously they can't have an annus horribilis, as they say in Latin, like they did last year. They've got two good, fast, young drivers who will work their tails off to go up, and because, you know, their careers are on the line too. So they've got to outperform and overperform for the team, and I think, just naturally speaking, I don't know what area they need it in, but they need somebody to come in there and inject some impetus.
I agree. Something different than has come up through the Williams train of thought, the Williams methodology, needs to be brought in with a fresh idea, because I feel like that's what's missing there.
Well, Adrian Newey. I mean, when Adrian Newey was at Williams, that's when they were winning. And I mean, you know, that would be the sort of thing that Adrian Newey going back to Williams from Red Bull could change it. I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think that budget's there.
No, yeah. I don't either.
Handing me down Little League uniforms right now.
Yeah. So, last word on Williams. I think if Claire doesn't produce this year, if I'm her, then I hire my own replacement.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, guys, let's go and take a quick break. If you're listening to Speed City, we're live in Austin, Texas, back after these messages.
Winding Road Racing is a leading provider of road racing and performance equipment at each of our locations in Texas, California, Georgia, and Kentucky. But we know some racers want that same high-quality gear, customer service, and pricing without leaving home. Check out the online store at WindingRoadRacing.com. It's got all the same high-quality brands you've come to know us for. Alpine Stars, Stilo Helmets, Chill Out, and AIM Data Systems. All available at great prices and delivered directly to you with free shipping. Log on now, WindingRoadRacing.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, let's talk about some of the big stories. Probably the biggest one we haven't touched on, haven't gone in depth on, is the Ferrari settlement with the FIA. Jonathan, you have been very opinionated on this. I'm going to give you the American perspective. To me,
yeah, go for it.
When I heard the word settlement, I was like, okay, so Ferrari cheated and you fined them. Because I thought, when I heard settlement, is this a monetary settlement? And now we've got all this new information coming out. It sounds like Ferrari found a loophole that wasn't necessarily directly in violation. There's nothing in the rules that said you can't do that. But in spirit, they're violating the rules and they reached some sort of agreement. But you've read the news today.
Yeah, all the non-Ferrari teams, and I'm talking IE Haas, and Alfa Romeo, as well as Ferrari, all the other teams are disputing the fact that there's been no transparency in this arbitration, in this investigation, right? So they've reached a settlement and that's the end of it. And it's kind of like, well, what's the settlement? What did you find? And all the rest of it. Now, what I was reminding you of was Formula One is an espionage-based sport,
yeah.
If you like. So in other words, just when Braun, I mean, ironically...
That's their new tagline.
Yeah. But just like Ross Braun with the double diffusers and the way that Braun won the you know, the World Championship back in 2008 when they, you know, found something that nobody else had done. So my thought is maybe that's what's happened here, is that Ferrari have not broken the rules, but they bent them to the point where they have got away with it and managed to do something, and they're in a position whereby it's been looked at and they have settled and no more will be said of it. Because
this episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more. Done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Austin's Talk, 1370. So where's your class if you are wrong? In all the right ways, all my underdogs. We will never be anything but loud and nitty gritty dirty. Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Let's go ahead and transition to the rest of the grid. And, you know, we've talked about how the midfield is going to be so competitive. But let's start at the top again. I mean, with Mercedes looking like coming out of testing, and I'm not going to put much weight in that. But if this DAS system turns out to be legal.
DAS is good.
DAS is good.
It's ironic that it's called DAS. Yeah.
Yeah, the dual axis steering system that they've come up with, which is, you know, we don't know exactly how it works. It looks absolutely ingenious because it looks somewhat simple. You know, it could be, if it's as simple as it looks, you know, as Hamilton, they show the video, pulling back and forth on the steering wheel like a pilot stick,
yeah,
and adjusting the toe in.
Right. And for those of you less technical, just go to your supermarket, get a trolley, and wheel it forward. Then all the wheels will be going straight, and then stop, pick up a packet of rice, and then you'll see the wheels will go sideways, and
yeah,
then you've got to get them back in line before it'll actually work really
That's
well.
Actually a pretty good analogy, isn't it?
There you go.
But so the point is it looks like Mercedes is, you know, most everybody's predicting Mercedes to be the class,
sure,
of the grid this year. But behind them, we don't know. Is it going to be Red Bull? I mean, you see, Red Bull or Ferrari? We don't know.
Well, Ferrari didn't actually look that great in the Barcelona tests, and they certainly didn't change the world, did they?
Yeah, maybe because they're not able to burn a little oil inside the combustion chamber.
Oh,
for that little
that's another story.
Ooh, yeah.
are we gonna get to that?
Well, let's go down the grid a little bit, and then we'll come back to the Ferrari settlement, air quotes. I, you know, as an American, when I hear that, there's a whole other story. But let's go down the grid a little bit. So, what do you think, Jonathan? You think Red Bull or Ferrari, two or three?
I actually think Red Bull. I really do think that Honda have come forward. I think Verstappen looks good. Albon's a great second man now. Red Bull were punching, you know, well last year. The Honda is, you know, compared to where it was McLaren, very reliable. And I think that you know, these guys know how to win championships. They've done it before. Christian, you know, the basis of the team is what it was when it won four titles with Sebastian Vettel. Ferrari, in my mind, still don't look like a championship-winning team. I think Vettel has lost a little bit of confidence from last year. I think Leclerc will be great. I think he'll win several races. I think you know, it'll be close. I don't think the Ferrari are out of it by any means, but I think Red Bull will push them harder for second place. That's my feeling.
You know, that's what I said on our local radio show last week. I said the same thing. I said I predicted Red Bull to be ahead of Ferrari, but you know, that's just, I think the point is that it's probably going to be Mercedes, then again Ferrari, Red Bull in whatever order. But after that, I have no idea, really, because are we going to have the pink Mercedes? Are we going to have...
Well, explain what that is. That's an interesting...
Yeah, so Racing Point, or otherwise known as Tracing Point...
Very good.
I wish I could take credit for that. That's a hashtag on Twitter. But they took the 2019 Mercedes car, and with photography, they claim, duplicated that car. And I've seen some really clever overlays of people where they took the two cars and overlaid them, and they're identical.
So why isn't that in the judiciary board, like the
Ferrari
story?
Exactly. Well, you know, so you could either say you could have that kind of attitude, or you could say, is this the Haas F1 style model a little bit? I mean, it's not the same, but you're using... I mean, they're just flat out, they're using their design. I mean, when you look at them, they look just almost identical. The rear wing looks a little bigger on the Racing Point car, but still, the front end of the car...
That's just because Sergio likes it like that.
Yeah.
I thought Kardashians were in on it.
No.
Maybe just half a Kardashian.
We've definitely had too much time off Formula One.
And so everybody looks at your competitor. That's just the sport. That
do
is
they
sport
copy
in
them?
General. Sometimes, yeah. I mean, certainly innovation. Oh, wow, that's a good idea. We should do that too. Yes, absolutely, we do that. How far can we go with it? What if they had freehand drawn that diagram? You know, does it really matter? I mean.
Well, it's obvious. Well, actually, I shouldn't say obvious.
Look
they
at all
admitted
the jelly bean. Yeah, look at all the jelly bean shaped cars.
They admitted it. Racing Points admitted that they used that design as, you know, in some fashion, you know, that they used aerodynamically a clone, essentially.
And Lawrence Stroll's also an investor and now a key player at Aston Martin. Maybe it'll look more like the Red Bull.
Yet to come. Well, so the let's look at the midfield. You've got McLaren, Renault, Racing Point, AlphaTauri, Alfa Romeo, Haas F1, and Williams. Now, what's crazy is that all of those teams, we don't know. Could they all be right smack dab in the middle? Could they all be within a second and a half, 2 seconds?
You
maybe
heard what
tighter?
Gunter said. He said it's, you know, he thinks it's going to be touch and go for you know, who's going to be fifth in the championship. He really does. So that's good news from his point of view. My gut feeling is that Racing Point... are the team I would put in fifth place now, regardless of the sort of tracing point. I really do think that they showed very competitively last year. Their two drivers are excellent. You know.
Who are you saying fourth?
Oh,
you skipped fourth.
I did, didn't I?
Did you do that on purpose? No.
Haas!
I like it.
All right.
I like it.
To be honest, you know, I'll tell you who I actually genuinely believe. McLaren. I believe that McLaren will be fourth this
again
year. Yeah. Andy P and me got together and had lunch. He bought me lunch.
We have a lot of fans that are fans.
But no, I really do think that the combination of Lando and Sainz was good last year. There's a feeling in the team. They're carrying on with their Indy program. And, you know, McLaren's just too long to be down, you know?
What about your friend Daniel Ricciardo, who had the third fastest lap in testing, and the Renault team? I mean, they're a constructor. They're a works team. They should be up there.
Talking of fourth and fifth in the championship, that is actually where my mind is really going to be focusing on this year is how well can Renault do? They've had a lot going on, including their chairman now in Lebanon, I think, having been arrested in Japan. But, you know, there's a lot of distractions at Renault. But just going back to Formula One for a second, Ricciardo and Ocon, you know?
Yeah.
It's a brave new world. I'm really interested to see how Ricciardo goes against what will be a massive year for Ocon. He's got to beat Ricciardo, or in his mind, because he's had a year out of the team or out of racing. He's learned a lot from Mercedes, I'm sure. He is the real deal. Ocon, some say, could be as good as potentially Verstappen, Lando, you know, and Leclerc, if things are to be believed. And, you know, I'm really interested to see that battle, that dynamic between Ricciardo and Ocon. But more importantly, as you quite rightly point out, Renault should be fourth or fifth, or there is trouble.
Yeah, I think if Gene Haas can pressure Gunther Steiner, then absolutely there ought to be pressure within that Renault team. And
yeah, you know, I think Cyril Abiteboul is, you know,
I'd like to see their budget compared to the Haas budget.
Well, we learned a lot for the Netflix thing. I mean, in the season one, you saw how he was going head to head for the, you know, for the engines with Renault, and they were getting slagged off by, you know, the rest of it. And then, you know, this season, or last season, I should say, you know, they had their own things to deal with. But it you know, when you go behind the scenes of the Netflix thing, you really do see that everything we talk about is happening.
So if you haven't seen, I'll give you one little hint about the Netflix. I've watched through episode two of season two.
Yep.
And I think, you remember that Saturday Night Live show where they said more cowbell, more cowbell?
Oh boy.
I think they said more F-bombs yeah, to Gunther, because if you liked last year's F-bombs,
Gene,
there are a lot more.
You know, I he said it in the interview. I love the fact that Gunther wears his heart on his sleeve. And there's very few in Formula One that do that. Frank Williams did. Patrick Head did. And of course, you know, that's Williams. But when they were in their glory days, you know, you always got a straight answer from them. And that's what I love about Gunther Steiner. He really is, you know, the real deal.
Yeah, he's the real deal. And it's like that that question we got from our on Twitter where Kyle said, Gunther, just be Gunther.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's keep going down the grid here. So we've talked about Renault. We talked about McLaren. We talked about, well, what about AlphaTauri?
Yes.
You know,
which was, of course,
Toro Rosso.
Yeah. I think it's going to be an interesting year for them because, you know, in a weird way, both Kvyat and Gasly, and we spent some time at NASA with them and then really got to, spend some really quality time with both those guys. And I actually think they both drove really well last year, especially Gasly, who was under real pressure, and Kvyat, who hasn't lost any pressure because he's, I mean, both of them are in the same boat, if you think about it. They've been given a reprieve.
Do you think this whole Tari and name change and these partnerships are going to really transition to the track and be something different?
I don't know why they needed to change the name of their team to a star in the galaxy. Maybe it was the NASA trip. I don't know. But I don't know why they've done that and whether it will. I suppose it takes them out of being in the Red Bull colors, and maybe Red Bull is saying, you need to, you know, hey, son, you've been under the wing for a while. You need to go and get your own sponsors. And you know, Alfa Romeo there, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that's my point is I think there's more to this than we've heard so far.
Yeah, I do too.
Are they looking at separating and kind of, you know, spread your wings and go do it on your own? Or are we looking at...
What if you were Aston Martin or Infinity, and you were part of the Red Bull team and you're basically looking at Alfa Romeo as their junior team in Ferrari, I'm talking about. You know what I mean? It's brand demarcation is what I'm saying is. And if you're looking at the Alfa Romeo team, it isn't really Alfa Romeo. It's, you know what I mean? It's hard to...
Yeah. And I always feel that odd when you have an automobile brand on a car that's not using that motor.
Right.
Or, you know, significant amount of the technology that brand is known for.
Yeah.
But I do. I'm, you know, in this, I'm going to be suspicious. I think there's more going on than we know yet on the Tari team.
All right.
I like it. I like your black helicopter approach. All right. So what about Alfa Romeo? So Kimi looked fast. He had the fastest actual top speed during testing.
I got this.
Okay, Mr.
No. That's his.
Oh, that's Kimi saying, "I got this. Leave me alone."
I love watching Kimi just race. I mean, I mean, he's in his, you know, he's the elder statesman of Formula One now. But I mean, he's still quick as ever. I love it.
Is Antonio going to be faster than him this year?
I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, it's a great story for an Italian team with an Italian driver. I mean, you know, that's the dream, is to have eventually a Ferrari Ferrari Italian driver, but I don't think it's necessarily going to be Giovinazzi.
I think you're going to see some favoritism towards Antonio.
Okay, all right.
I do.
Well,
because of
just
nationality,
the
all of those things. For one, he's a great guy to speak to. Having I think it comes off well. He's that young, sexy F1 driver.
Yeah.
That so many like, and then certainly the Italian always love that persona that is there. I don't know about anybody else, but not that there's anything wrong with it, but I don't find Kimi that sexy persona that would be marketable to an Italian market.
Did you say not that there's anything wrong with that?
Yeah, it's Austin. It's all right.
All right, what about the Williams team?
Well, again, I mean, you hope that things will turn around. I think both their drivers are good. It's good that they've got Nicholas Latifi. I think he's going to be good. I think, two young drivers is only going to help. They're just at a rotten place right now. I mean, Williams are the perennial survivors and one of the older teams now in Formula One. And I do hope that, I'm going to put my neck out here. If things don't get better for Williams, I've got a feeling that Frank might have to turn to Claire and shake things up a bit.
I am right there with you.
Are you saying you're right there with him because you don't think she's doing a good job?
I think she is doing a good job.
Needs to be a change. And, Claire is the standing chief at the moment.
Yeah.
And I think that if Claire hasn't made the change of her own decisions to shake things up on the team, I think she's going to be changed to somebody that will.
I don't see a problem. I think being a team principal or a team owner is one thing. It's who you bring in. We saw it with McLaren. I mean, Zak Brown isn't going anywhere, and Claire doesn't need to necessarily go anywhere. But you saw when they got, what was the French guy's name? They got rid of Eric Boullier.
Oh, Boullier.
Yeah.
That, McLaren from that point on became a different team. And so it wasn't a matter of getting rid of Zak, and obviously Zak's, going anywhere. But I don't think Claire needs to necessarily go anywhere. She is now Williams, but they need a shakeup at that level. And it needs to be a partner to Claire, or Claire needs to step down and say, bring so-and-so
in. Well, you say she's doing a good job.
Well,
but
I don't know.
She's not. I mean, because the proof's in the pudding, right? I mean,
proof's on the podium.
Proofs are in podiums.
But Williams have the same problem that Haas do to a certain extent, which is investment. They need money.
Okay, well then part of her job is to go find sponsors.
That's
what I'm saying. The buck stops there. So I'm really just kind of playing devil's advocate here because I don't know. She is very likable, and I do love that there's a woman at the head of a Formula One team.
That's really cool,
But, I mean, look, let's face it. They've got to produce.
Talk Brown, talk Braun, and Williams. The difference between Brown and Braun is they have legitimate experience that they brought in from other positions in Formula One that were not immediately what they're standing doing now. Claire really doesn't have that lineage except the last name, to be quite honest, is the way I see it. Mm-hmm. Now, certainly she could have been schooled, but she doesn't have that diverse background to see it, other organizations, what they're doing. She only knows what's happened in Williams.
I mean, ironically, what I think Williams needs more than anything is a Zak Brown type figure. Because remember, Zak Brown made his money with his own company. And he, to be honest, he was responsible for Martini going to Williams. He's still doing deals, even though he's running McLaren. He's still doing Formula One deals through his own company. And so, therefore, I think they need a figure like a Zak Brown at Williams who will totally shake up the sponsorship finding dynamic for Williams. I mean, remember, Williams automation. I mean, remember the ECUs that they make and all the other stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on at Williams.
Yeah, they're a technology company.
Yeah,
not just for Formula One.
So, they're certainly not a lost cause by any means. It's not an HRT or a Marussia in any way, shape, or form. Williams, and I think Liberty Media know that, and I think that things will turn around. I think, going back to your original question, obviously they can't have an annus horribilis, as they say in Latin, like they did last year. They've got two good, fast, young drivers who will work their tails off to go up and because their careers are on the line too, so they've got to outperform and overperform for the team. And I think, just naturally speaking, I don't know what area they need it in, but they need somebody to come in there and inject some impetus.
I agree, something different than has come up through the Williams train of thought. The Williams methodology needs to be brought in with a fresh idea, because I feel like that's what's missing there.
Well, Adrian Newey I mean, when Adrian Newey was at Williams, that's when they were winning. And I mean, that would be the sort of thing that Adrian Newey going back to Williams from Red Bull could change it. I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think that budget's there.
No, yeah. I don't either.
They're playing handing me down Little League uniforms right now.
Yeah, so last word on Williams. I think if Claire doesn't produce this year, if I'm her, then I hire my own replacement.
Yeah.
All right, well, guys, let's go ahead and take a quick break. You're listening to Speed City. We're live in Austin, Texas, back after these messages.
Winding Road Racing is a leading provider of road racing and performance equipment at each of our locations in Texas, California, Georgia, and Kentucky. But we know some racers want that same high-quality gear, customer service, and pricing without leaving home. Check out the online store at WindingRoadRacing.com. It's got all the same high-quality brands you've come to know us for. Alpine Stars, Stilo Helmets, Chill Out, and AIM Data Systems. All available at great prices and delivered directly to you with free shipping. Log on now, WindingRoadRacing.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, let's talk about some of the big stories. Probably the biggest one we haven't touched on, haven't gone in depth on, is the Ferrari settlement with the FIA. Jonathan, you have been very opinionated on this. I'm going to give you the American perspective. To me,
yeah, go for it.
When I heard the word settlement, I was like, okay, so Ferrari cheated and you fined them. Because I thought when I heard settlement, is this a monetary settlement? And now we've got all this new information coming out. It sounds like Ferrari found a loophole that wasn't necessarily directly in violation. There's nothing in the codes, that the rules, that said you can't do that. But in spirit, they're violating the rules and they reached some sort of agreement. But you've read the news today.
All the non-Ferrari teams, and I'm talking IE Haas, and Alfa Romeo, as well as Ferrari, all the other teams are disputing the fact that there's been no transparency in this arbitration, in this investigation, right? So they've reached a settlement and that's the end of it. And it's kind of like, well, what's the settlement? What did you find? And all the rest of it. Now, what I was reminding you of was Formula One is an espionage-based sport,
yeah.
if you like. So in other words, just when Braun, ironically...
That's their new tagline.
Yeah, but just like Ross Braun with the double diffusers and the way that Braun won the world championship back in 2008 when they, found something that nobody else had done. So my thought is maybe that's what's happened here, is that Ferrari have not broken the rules, but they bent them to the point where they have got away with it and managed to do something, and they're in a position whereby it's been looked at and they have settled and no more will be said of it. Because if it became transparent, then everybody else would go, oh, we'll do that then. That's just my theory. But here's what the rules actually state, which is legally, in terms of the way F1 is set up, rule-wise, if the FIA aren't satisfied with what they find, they then do an independent tribunal, which is an IT. You'll see it in the things that you're reading. Now, at that point, it does become a public issue for all the other teams to be noted on. So in other words, it does look a bit cloak and dagger that they've kind of done this quiet settlement, but nobody's... And like I said, that looks as though the other teams are going to try to sue or at least take legal action.
Just think about it. Last year,
What did they do wrong?
Well, I'm assuming that this all goes back to that oil that's being burned in the combustion chamber that actually gives them some additional fuel.
Adjib. Mm-hmm.
So,
it's adjib.
So, gives them something else to burn in the combustion chamber, and that's what gave them the extra power. But if I'm the other teams, I'm going, well, wait a minute. I may have gained some more points last year because had Ferrari not been there. If you go back and look, you might look at specific races and go, oh, wait a minute, if Ferrari take that little bit of speed away, we'd have taken those points.
So is it the fuel rather than the engine?
Well, that's
the part nobody knows at this point.
So that's, Yeah, and that was part of the issue is fuel is considered different than oil, which is lubricant and cooling.
Correct, okay.
But in the technology, you could set it up, for instance, to allow some of that oil to go in, as we've already discussed, into the combustion chamber and then be treated like a fuel.
Yeah, and so effectively, it's just giving them more something to burn in the combustion chamber, which gives them more power. That's what, you know, that's what the speculation was.
Okay, just reading down the road a bit, could Haas and Alfa Romeo be affected by this in any way if they're using, you know, a similar engine?
Yeah, I don't think Ferrari gave them that little extra tube that went from the crankcase breather to the combustion chamber to burn the oil.
Why not? I mean,
that's the name of the game when you make the motor.
So anyway, that's an ongoing story, right? And it will be something that will be discussed a lot at Australia.
But
so
I want to know who gets the rose and who gets voted off the island.
With the tribunal? I know, that's what I hear.
Hey,
that.
Sebastian almost got voted off the island of Ferrari last year.
All right. My capsule of an appraisal of this is FIA is going, Ferrari, you were right on the edge of the rules, and it would have been real easy for you to cheat because of this, but it'd take us far too much money and far too long to prove that you ever did. Shake the finger and don't do that again.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it feels, isn't it?
And we'll never speak for this. Bye.
I don't think it's going to go away, and because it's Ferrari and because they get the lion's share of the money and because of their history and threatening to leave and all this sort of stuff, it's always going to be cynical from the rest of the other teams.
All right, well, let's move on from that story. Let's talk about, we got two new circuits on the calendar if the coronavirus allows, unless you went to one of those circuits last year, man.
Fantastic. Yeah, Zandvoort was there in May for the Red Bull demonstration and got to see a lot of the things.
Was Max hanging out?
Max was there, and you know, it was really nice. The crowd there is phenomenal. The other thing that was going on, they had a Porsche Cup race. They had some F1 cars. Max was out playing around.
Max Verstappen, who we're talking about, of course.
And also an interesting other was a drift demonstration was cool all of its own. Things that couldn't happen in the U.S. on the Formula One track. They had put a double-decker bus on the track.
Drifting?
That you as a tourist or spectator could pay to get on and go for a ride.
Did
and
you do it?
No, I did not. And the drifters dodged you. Well, on course.
That whole demonstration was going really well until it got to the banking and then tipped over.
Yeah, well, so the banking is the big story.
All aboard!
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the last week, actually the weekend before, they have completed the asphalt and cars are running on the banking now. They had a sports car class out running on it and they are loving it. Now, everybody's getting excited to see what a Formula One car will do on the banking, but it's expected, realize there's nothing like this on the current calendar. You have to go back to some of the Le Mans banked turns of long ago. Monza way back in the day. Some of these things, you know, you got to go quite a ways back since Grand Prix cars were on banked turns.
Well, how banked is it for American fans who are familiar with Dallas and Indy and
I believe
so
it's
on?
Pretty equivalent to Daytona.
You're kidding me. That steep?
It is steep.
Wow.
I think that was the one that they used as a benchmark, but it is significant and a lot of the guys are really interested in it, thinking, oh, this is going to be cool, but the downforce is very different. We deal with downforce in different places, the bottom of Circuit of the Americas.
Okay, so I saw a headline earlier today, and it was talking about Verstappen saying that the Zandvoort banking will encourage different lines. I love that.
Yep.
Right. In fact, it could potentially offer more than a single line through that system. Now, it is
Max is good at creating his own.
That's for sure. Yeah, if anybody can create a new line through that.
Look at him at turn 18 at Circuit of the Americas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, Zandvoort's going to be so much fun to watch if all these races go off. But all right, let's talk about Vietnam. Jonathan, what do you think about that?
I've spent time in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And a few years ago now. But Vietnam, I'm so happy for them because just as it did for Malaysia and China, this could put Vietnam internationally on the map. Obviously, it is still scarred with the war, which, let's remember, was in the 70s. I mean, there's not many people around now that can talk about the Vietnam War, but I mean, it's still saddled with that, unfortunately. But Vietnam is a vibrant, commercial, democratic, fantastic place to be. Ho Chi Minh and Hanoi, fantastic cities. And there's a new entrepreneurial spirit in Vietnam. Lovely people, great place to be, great place to take a holiday. And if they can get it off the ground, I think Vietnam will become a very popular destination maybe those that went to Singapore and enjoyed that experience would then maybe be interested in going to Vietnam. The food is fantastic. It's got a real French feel to it. That's its history. A lot of it. And obviously, you know, it's still tinged with a lot of communist background too. But we've, you know, we've now gone to China as Formula One. That too has its own mystique and feel to it. So I think it's got a really good place on the calendar, and I think it will do what it's done for many countries, Malaysia included, put them on the map.
Well, you know, I mean, Vietnam's not what it was. You're right. Mm. I have, you know, business folks that go to Vietnam for several different business opportunities and relationships that are there. It's a developing country. It's, you know, we still have that vision that, you know, developed around Vietnam that is not what that place is anymore. So Formula One recognized that and pursued it. And I think it's an excellent thing. You know, it does, you know, obviously take into play a lot of different cultures that come through Vietnam. So I think it's appropriate.
And if I was to compare it to a track, I might go and say Baku, because it seems to have
that's
really long straights, and then go in the latter part of the circuit. I've seen some of the, you know, some of the onboards of them going around the track. There seems to be almost a village type place where it's like Monaco. So Baku, as you know, has that long straights and then goes to the very tight tower, old town. I think this is what Vietnam's going to be like. So I hope it isn't cancelled because of the coronavirus, because I think it'll be a really interesting track.
Well, speaking of cancelling, Bahrain, if you go to the Bahrain International Circuit website, they now have a message on their website that says they've halted ticket sales until further notice about the coronavirus. Man, this just could wreak havoc. I mean, it already is. We don't really know what's going to happen, guys. Let's talk about that. We could end up with some sort of crazy shortened season. We just don't know.
Well, my concern is more importantly is at what point, when you've cancelled China, let's say Vietnam is cancelled, and then, you know, potentially Italy, whatever. But what point does a team like Haas or any of the F1 teams start to lose money and not be able to do the payroll of some, you know, 200, 400 people in their factories when they're not getting a return, or sponsors aren't about to pay the same amount of money if they're not getting the 23-22 race experience? You know, it's a knock-on effect for everybody in the business, and a real worry for Liberty. As it is for, I mean, you know, look at this weekend. You know, I'm a big rugby fan, and the Six Nations, because Italy are involved, you know, effectively has been cancelled for this weekend. You know, soccer matches in Italy are being played behind closed doors. MotoGP has said that they're considering that. Let's not be honest. Formula One, a lot of, you know, two teams are from Italy, effectively. So, you know, it's tough.
Yeah, what if you're Sky Sports and you've paid $200 million, some of that, which is prepaid, I don't know how much of it is prepaid. Yeah. I mean, and then you're not getting all your races. The contract says that they have to deliver at least 16 races a year to fulfill the agreement. So if we don't get 16, that's directly affects the television contracts.
And think about, from the talent, you're going to, you know, are you going to keep sending these people to all these different countries and all of that kind of thing? That's a big part of it. I mean, just to give you play as well.
Yeah, just to give you one example, Christian Lundgaard, who is was supposed to be in Bahrain testing, got stuck in Tenerife because he was being quarantined, and it's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, it's happening around the world. People finding themselves. I mean, you know, a rugby player again got stuck in Hong Kong, and because he went to Hong Kong, he was then, you know, quarantined. So yeah, it's a really scary time for everybody. Let's go back to Mercedes. I think this is an interesting year for Mercedes. I think obviously they're going to be favorites. I mean, but will Hamilton run away with it? I do think that Bottas is running out of options to not really take it. And I think actually we saw signs of last year of him becoming a bit more of an Iceman and a bit more of a competitive foil, if you will, to Hamilton. I think Hamilton wants and craves the competition. Will, you know, and okay, so that's Bottas, but will Ferrari, having said what we've said about them, actually be on edge, and Leclerc and Vettel? I think Vettel's got to do something, or he's looking at retirement, or potentially even worse, being fired by Ferrari. Ricciardo's still in the hunt, potentially. Verstappen could be moved to Ferrari. You know, these are interesting times for the driver setup too. You know, Hamilton's negotiating his contract, but you know, I do think that we expect Mercedes to win again, and I know they've got DAS and a few more tricky bits
up their sleeve. Yeah,
up their sleeve, but it may or may not. People might, you know, they might fall foul of the rules, if we don't know yet.
Yeah, or they may go carbon neutral like they're claiming they'll do.
And I do think, just listening to Formula One in total, that is a huge prerogative of the whole of the sport. sport, never mind Mercedes, to at least have an impact because they are making a ridiculously heavy carbon footprint, obviously, with the traveling and all the rest of it. So my point is, with Formula E doing what it's doing and obviously is a paragon for electric cars and they're being successful, Formula One has to have some sustainability projects and evidence for them to be main relevant with the manufacturers. That's the important thing, is that they've got to be relevant with the manufacturers who've jumped into Formula, yeah. You know, to Formula E, and so therefore there's got to be, you know, we saw with WEC the other week, a hybrid factor and a sustainability factor in what they do in the future.
Yeah. Sure, but they've said they will not encroach on the Formula E model.
Yeah,
no.
All electric Formula cars. Well, guys, we are out of time, man. This hour flew by.
It did.
All right, well, thanks everybody, and we thanks to Günther Steiner for coming on the show today, and we will talk to you guys next week.
Ciao, y'all.
Trails.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year, because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces, like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, let's talk about some of the big stories. Probably the biggest one we haven't touched on, haven't gone in depth on, is the Ferrari settlement with the FIA. Jonathan, you have been very opinionated on this. I'm going to give you the American perspective. To me,
yeah, go for it.
When I heard the word settlement, I was like, okay, so Ferrari cheated and you fined them. Because I thought, when I heard settlement, is this a monetary settlement? And now we've got all this new information coming out. It sounds like Ferrari found a loophole that wasn't necessarily directly in violation. There's nothing in the rules that said you can't do that. But in spirit, they're violating the rules and they reached some sort of agreement. But you've read the news today.
Yeah, all the non-Ferrari teams, and I'm talking IE Haas, and Alfa Romeo, as well as Ferrari, all the other teams are disputing the fact that there's been no transparency in this arbitration, in this investigation, right? So they've reached a settlement and that's the end of it. And it's kind of like, well, what's the settlement? What did you find? And all the rest of it. Now, what I was reminding you of was Formula One is an espionage-based sport,
yeah.
If you like. So in other words, just when Braun, I mean, ironically...
That's their new tagline.
Yeah. But just like Ross Braun with the double diffusers and the way that Braun won the you know, the World Championship back in 2008 when they, you know, found something that nobody else had done. So my thought is maybe that's what's happened here, is that Ferrari have not broken the rules, but they bent them to the point where they have got away with it and managed to do something, and they're in a position whereby it's been looked at and they have settled and no more will be said of it. Because if it became transparent, then everybody else would go, oh, we'll do that then. That's just my theory. But here's what the rules actually state, which is legally, in terms of the way F1 is set up, rule-wise, if the FIA aren't satisfied with the what they find, they then do an independent tribunal, which is an IT. You'll see it in the things that you're reading. Now, at that point, it does become a public issue for all the other teams to be noted on. Mm. So, in other words, it does look a bit cloak and dagger that they've kind of done this quiet settlement, but nobody's... And like I said, that looks as though that the other teams are going to try to sue or at least take legal action.
Just think about it. Last year,
What did they do wrong?
Well, I'm assuming that this all goes back to that oil that's being burned in the combustion chamber that actually gives them some additional fuel.
Agit. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It's agit.
So, gives them something else to burn in the combustion chamber, and that's what gave them the extra power. But if I'm the other teams, I'm going, well, wait a minute. I may have gained some more points last year because had Ferrari not been there. You know, if you go back and look, you might look at specific races and go, well, wait a minute. If Ferrari take that little bit of speed away, we'd have taken those points.
So is it the fuel rather than the engine?
Well,
that's the part nobody knows at this point.
So and that was part of the issue, is fuel is considered different than oil, which is lubricant and cooling.
Correct. Okay.
But in the technology, you could set it up, for instance, to allow some of that oil to go in, as we've already discussed, into the combustion chamber and then be treated like a fuel.
Yeah, and so effectively, it's just giving them more something to burn in the combustion chamber, which gives them more power. That's what, you know, that's what the speculation was.
Okay, just reading down the road a little bit, could Haas and Alfa Romeo be affected by this in any way if they're using, you know, a similar engine?
Yeah, I don't think Ferrari gave them that little extra tube that went from the crankcase breather to the combustion chamber to burn the oil.
Why not?
That's the name of the game when you make the motor.
So anyway, that's an ongoing story, right? And it will be something that will be discussed a lot at Australia.
But
so
I want to know who gets the rose and who gets voted off the island.
With the tribunal? I know, that's what I hear.
Hey, Sebastian almost got voted off the island of Ferrari last year.
All right. My capsule of an appraisal of this is FIA is going, Ferrari, you were right on the edge of the rules, and it would have been real easy for you to cheat because of this, but it'd take us far too much money and far too long to prove that you ever did. Shake the finger and don't do that again.
Yeah, it's kind of the way it feels, isn't it?
And we'll never speak for this. Bye.
I don't think it's going to go away, and because it's Ferrari and because they get the lion's share of the money and because of their history and threatening to leave and all this sort of stuff, it's always going to be cynical from the rest of the other team.
All right, well, let's move on from that story. Let's talk about, we got two new circuits on the calendar if the coronavirus allows, unless you went to one of those circuits last year, man.
Fantastic. Yeah, Zandvoort was there in May for the Red Bull demonstration and got to see a lot of the things.
Was Max hanging out?
Max was there, and you know, it was really nice. The crowd there is phenomenal. The other thing that was going on, they had a Porsche Cup race. They had some F1 cars. Max was out playing around.
Max Verstappen, who we're talking about, of course.
And also an interesting other was a drift demonstration was cool all of its own. Things that couldn't happen in the U.S. on the Formula One track. They had put a double-decker bus on the track.
Drifting?
That you as a tourist or spectator could pay to get on and go for a ride.
Did
and
you
the,
do it?
No, I did not. And the drifters dodged you.
Well,
on course.
That whole demonstration was going really well until it got to the banking and then tipped over.
Yeah, well, so the banking is the big story.
All aboard!
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the last week, actually the weekend before, they have completed the asphalt and cars are running on the banking now. They had a sports car class out running on it and they are loving it. Now, everybody's getting excited to see what a Formula One car will do on the banking, but it's expected, you realize there's nothing like this on the current calendar, you have to go back to some of the Le Mans banked turns of
Monza way back in the day.
Some of these things, you know, you got to go quite a ways back since Grand Prix cars were on banked turns.
Well, how banked is it for American fans who are familiar with Dallas and Indy?
I believe it's pretty equivalent to Daytona.
You're kidding me. That steep?
It is steep.
Wow.
I think that was the one that they used as a benchmark, but it is significant. And a lot of the guys are really interested in it, thinking, oh, this is going to be cool, but the downforce is very different. We deal with downforce in different places, the bottom of Circuit of the Americas.
Okay, so I saw a headline earlier today, and it was talking about Verstappen saying that the Zandvoort banking will encourage different lines. I love that.
Yep.
Right. In fact, it could potentially offer more than a single line through that system. Now, it is
Max is good at creating his own.
That's for sure. Yeah, if anybody can create a new line through that.
Look at him at turn 18 at Circuit of the Americas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, Zandvoort's going to be so much fun to watch if all these races go off. But all right, let's talk about Vietnam. Jonathan, what do you think about that?
I've spent time in Vietnam.
Yeah.
A few years ago now. But Vietnam, I'm so happy for them because just as it did for Malaysia and China, this could put Vietnam internationally on the map. Obviously, it is still scarred with the war, which, let's remember, was in the 70s. I mean, there's not many people around now that can talk about the Vietnam War, but I mean, it's still saddled with that, unfortunately. But Vietnam is a vibrant, commercial, democratic, fantastic place to be. Ho Chi Minh and Hanoi, fantastic cities. And there's a new entrepreneurial spirit in Vietnam. Lovely people, great place to be, great place to take a holiday. And if they can get it off the ground, I think Vietnam will become a very popular destination for maybe those that went to Singapore and enjoyed that experience would then maybe be interested in going to Vietnam. The food is fantastic. It's got a real French feel to it. That's its history, a lot of it. And obviously, you know, it's still tinged with a lot of communist background too. But we've now gone to China as Formula One. That too has its own mystique and feel to it. So I think it's got a really good place on the calendar, and I think it will do what it's done for many countries, Malaysia included, put them on the map.
Well, you know, I mean, Vietnam's not what it was. You're right. Mm. I have, you know, business folks that go to Vietnam for several different business opportunities and relationships that are there. It's a developing country. We still have that vision that, you know, developed around Vietnam that is not what that place is anymore. So Formula One recognized that and pursued it. And I think it's an excellent thing. You know, it does, you know, obviously take into play a lot of different cultures that come through Vietnam. So I think it's appropriate.
And if I was to compare it to a track, I might go and say Baku, because it seems to have really long straights. And then go in the latter part of the circuit. I've seen some of the onboards of them going around the track. There seems to be almost a village type place where it's like Monaco. So Baku, as you know, has that long, long straights and then goes to the very tight tower, old town. I think this is what Vietnam's going to be like. So I hope it isn't canceled because of the coronavirus, because I think it'll be a really interesting track.
Well, speaking of canceling, Bahrain, if you go to the Bahrain International Circuit website, they now have a message on their website that says they've halted ticket sales until further notice about the coronavirus. Man, this just could wreak havoc. I mean, it already is. We don't really know what's going to happen, guys. Let's talk about that. We could end up with some sort of crazy shortened season. We just don't know.
Well, my concern is more importantly is at what point when you've canceled China, let's say Vietnam is canceled, and then, you know, potentially Italy, whatever. But what point does a team like Haas or any of the F1 teams start to lose money and not be able to do the payroll of some, you know, 200, 400 people in their factories when they're not getting a return, or sponsors aren't about to pay the same amount of money if they're not getting the 23-22 race experience? It's a knock-on effect for everybody in the business, and a real worry for Liberty. As it is for, look at this weekend. I'm a big rugby fan, and the Six Nations, because Italy are involved, effectively has been cancelled for this weekend. Soccer matches in Italy are being played behind closed doors. MotoGP has said that they're considering that. Let's not be honest. Formula One, a lot of, two teams are from Italy, effectively. It's tough.
Yeah, what if you're Sky Sports and
and you've paid $200 million, some of that, which is prepaid. I don't know how much of it is prepaid. Yeah. I mean, and then you're not getting all your races. The contract says that they have to deliver at least 16 races a year to fulfill the agreement. So if we don't get 16, that's directly affects the television contracts.
And think about from the talent, are you going to keep sending these people to all these different countries and all of that kind of thing? That's a big part of it. I mean, just to give you play as well.
Yeah, just to give you one example, Christian Lundgaard, who is was supposed to be in Bahrain testing, got stuck in Tenerife because he was being quarantined, and it's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, it's happening around the world. People finding themselves. I mean, you know, a rugby player again got stuck in Hong Kong, and because he went to Hong Kong, he was then quarantined. So yeah, it's a really scary time for everybody. Let's go back to Mercedes. I think this is an interesting year for Mercedes. I think obviously they're going to be favourites. But will Hamilton run away with it? I do think that Bottas is running out of options to not really take it. And I think actually we saw signs of last year of him becoming a bit more of an Iceman and a bit more of a competitive foil, if you will, to Hamilton. I think Hamilton wants and craves the competition. So that's Bottas. But will Ferrari, having said what we've said about them, actually be on edge and Leclerc and Vettel? I think Vettel's got to do something, or he's looking at retirement or potentially even worse, being fired by Ferrari. Ricciardo's still in the hunt, potentially. Verstappen could be moved to Ferrari. These are interesting times for the driver setup too. Hamilton's negotiating his contract. But, I do think that we expect Mercedes to win again, and I know they've got Das and a few more tricky bits. Up their sleeve, but it may or may not. People might, they might fall foul of the rules if we don't know yet.
Yeah, or they may go carbon neutral like they're claiming they'll do.
And I do think, just listening to Formula One in total, that is a huge prerogative of the whole of the sport, never mind Mercedes, to at least have an impact because they are making a ridiculously heavy carbon footprint, obviously, with the traveling and all the rest of it. So my point is, with Formula E doing what it's doing and obviously is a paragon for electric cars, and they're being successful, Formula One has to have some sustainability projects and evidence for them to be main relevant with the manufacturers. That's the important thing, is that they've got to be relevant with the manufacturers who've jumped into Formula, to Formula E, and so therefore there's got to be, we saw with WEC the other week, a hybrid factor and a sustainability factor in what they do in the future.
Yeah. Sure, but they've said they will not encroach on the Formula E model.
Yeah,
no.
All electric Formula cars. Well, guys, we are out of time, man. This hour flew by.
It did.
All right, well, thanks, everybody. And we thanks to Günther Steiner for coming on the show today. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Ciao, y'all.
Trails.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump?
Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.